views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly Neff, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. We are streaming live on Transformation Talk Radio, Starcom Radio Network, CRN Digital Talk, and more. Please stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, creativity, knowledge, all the good things. Every week we have some amazing guests on the show, really with the goal of helping you to think critically and become the greatest version of yourself. You can find out much more by just visiting thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, etc. Just search for Lucid Planet Radio. And of course, you can also connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. I love hearing from our listeners about who they want to hear next on the show. And you can also hit me up to nominate yourself or someone you like for the show. Facebook and Twitter, The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly, and my weird and kind of wonderful Instagram as well, The Lucid Planet. I also want to thank all of our new listeners tuning in on the Starcom Radio Network. And we are now reaching an audience of over 11 million homes in the U.S. and 250 AM FM digital cable stations. Woo! Super rad. And today's show, on that note, is all about getting hella lit from the flames of enlightenment. And I'm laughing because I'm just really excited to welcome comedian Shane Moss to the show today. We're going to talk about some of my favorite topics and topics that are important right now with all this like strife and conflict and stress in the world, really talking about the psychedelic experience and how humans have been pursuing alternative states of consciousness with plant medicines and more ecstatic techniques really since the dawn of time. And so today we're going to talk all about this and how we can ground the experience in neuroscience and psychology and think critically about what the psychedelic experience is. And so originally from Wisconsin, Shane Moss, my guest today, he caught his first break when he was awarded Best Stand-Up at the HBO US Comedy Arts Festival in 2007, which led to his TV debut and first of five appearances on Conan. And since then, he's been on an like insane amount of really impressive stuff. Jimmy Kimmel, Showtime.
Please don't read everything that I told that I wrote.
Okay, fine. But can I just read one thing? Please, can I just read one thing?
Yes, because of course you can. I thought that was for your website. I didn't know.
Embarrassed. I just want to give you
many credits that I have to brag about myself to feel valid.
Dude, you earned it, man. That's what I'm saying. I just want to say, though, that you had an album called My Big Break, which was about breaking both of his feet in a hiking mishap. That really had you broke both your feet. That must have sucked.
It did suck. It was as opposed to the times when people break their feet and it's wonderful and glorious. Which I mean, I did learn some nice lessons from it eventually, but that's the eternal optimist in me saying that, because there's no as many positive things that you might get out of breaking your feet. You're still better off not breaking your feet.
You are out. I read that and I like winced. But you know what's interesting, Shane? You probably agree. When you go through trauma and crisis in your life, particularly like your health, and when your body starts falling. I mean, I'm 35. Like my body is slowly starting to fall apart, and I'm seeing it firsthand. It gives you a good perspective.
As there's old people listening to you right now, so upset with you. young 35-year-old woman.
You know it. Complaining. Well, you know, I've been through, you probably don't know, I've been through some, I almost died. I had to have an emergency hysterectomy when I was 30. I couldn't walk for 3 months. Like, I've been through some crap, just like you have, you know, the walking things. And so, but don't you agree, like, you get some good perspective on life, like, it kind of makes you strong in your mind. You realize, like, how much you can handle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I feel like I have a million things to say about this. I don't even know where to start. I mean, originally, I remember when I first broke my feet and I had to climb down a mountain for like 3 hours or whatever or crawl down.
It's like a James Franco movie.
Yeah, it was. In my album, I joke about that very comparison. Everyone didn't have to cut off my arm or leg. I was worried I was going to lose a foot, but ended up being able to keep it. But I remember just like managing it really well. It was painful and everything, but it was just like almost instantly I knew just what I had to do and was kind of very focused. And it's once you like actually get to the hospital and you're kind of safe, that's when you're allowed to have a psychological kind of meltdown, you know.
Totally. But the endorphins wear off.
Your body will kind of protect you. I mean, I feel like this, I probably shouldn't even mention this because I don't encourage this in any way, but I'm exceptionally experienced with psilocybin, magic mushrooms, and I have often taken them at a beach and even gone in the water and in oceans, which I don't encourage anyone to do. But when I do it,
disclaimer,
it completely shuts off the trip while I'm in the ocean, and then I'll get out, and then I'll be tripping again, or maybe even like hallucinating or seeing like weird colors or whatever it might be. But when I'm in the ocean, it just completely shuts off, and the body just kind of takes over, and it's like, oh, hold on now, this is serious. We are
focus. In the ocean.
And so sometimes when you're kind of your brain will find a way to make its way to the eye of the storm, you know, and a little bit kind of calmly.
It's like that moment of clarity. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, and, so you, yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. That was just like in that moment. But then, you know, afterwards, you kind of, I remember kind of thinking about what was important to me in life, which I think is a very common thing that people go through when they have, a cancer diagnosis or whatever it might be. People totally have like these kind of midlife crisis sort of things. I don't think it's all, you don't need to nearly die to have these kinds of moments. I think people can have these kind of psychological breakdowns as well that end up helping them see new connections and new clarity. And also just my amount of empathy. I remember being in like kind of the worst moment of my life and being when it was actually well after the injury, when I got a bone infection, had a second surgery. They were worried they're going to have to amputate my foot, and I was like, clean my own wound all the time and like 3 times a day, and get like, I wasn't showering because it was simply too much energy, and I was in the middle of like having to move.
When it rains, it pours. Jeez.
It just seemed, yeah, exactly. And it just seemed like things couldn't get any worse. And I just remember seeing, driving and feeling that miserable, and then seeing like a homeless person who actually has to like worry about dying and things like that every day. And just realizing, how much suffering there is in the world, how even when we have negative things happening, that works. There are still plenty of positive things going on. I mean, I was still a successful comedian all through all that and with lots of friends. And
which is almost an oxymoron. I mean, my goodness, there's not many of you. Like a unicorn. Oh, man. Thank you for that.
Credits at the beginning.
Crushing it. That's what I'm saying. Like crushing it. And now you're traveling around, which, and I think psychedelics also plays a part in that empathy. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit, I'm sure. But you're basically traveling around now, playing shows, your show, A Good Trip, just talking about psychedelics. But it's funny. Yeah,
it's like a third stand up. It kind of started from, I just had all this kind of, these jokes about having done psychedelics and they've been a fairly regular part of my life. And then I also had some stories and some experiences. And when I started doing the show, it was just like a purely comedy show, maybe little tidbits of information here and there. And through the course of doing the show, I was able to add more and more information and really push to make it more and more thought provoking. And so it's really great because as someone who I have my own podcast interviewing scientists about their mm-hmm. research and
here we are, right?
Yeah.
Here we are. Yeah.
And some of that stuff can kind of be hard to relate in a stand up set sometimes, but when you kind of, couch some of these ideas in this fun idea of like doing psychedelics and looking at things a little bit differently, it kind of opens people up to hearing about perception and consciousness and cognitive biases and all of these things that are typically very, very difficult to try to convey to a room full of drunk people you're babysitting in a comedy club.
But you know, you're absolutely right. And I find the same thing to you on this show because I like to talk about really heady stuff. And I'm a scientist and consciousness and near-death experiences and psychology and all kinds of stuff, coping skills, stuff that a lot of people just naturally tune out. Yep. And I totally agree. Comedy is the best delivery system, lubricant, whatever you want to call it. If you want to get your point across in this world, it's the thing that unites us when everyone is so divided and so triggered and so lit and just looking for a fight. But suddenly, if we can all laugh about it, the pain kind of dissipates. And I think it's amazing. So that's why I was really wanting to get you to come on my show, dude.
I'm so happy you reached out.
Oh, right on. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back here on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, comedian and scientific psychonaut, how's that? Shane Moss is going to tell us more about his new show, A Good Trip. A Good Trip or The Good Trip?
A Good Trip. A Good Trip. It doesn't really matter.
All right. We're going to talk about that. Science, psychedelics, psychology, and more. So stick with us. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
You, yes, you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Frankel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit dragnesfrankel.com.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's DanaCanetto.com.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is the very established comedian, Shane Moss, who's going to be sharing. He's going to be sharing with us his insights about the psychedelic experience and more. But Shane, before we continue, let's just make sure everybody knows how to get in touch with you to find out more about your podcast, your upcoming shows. I know you're going to be performing in my neck of the woods next week, right?
Well, I'll be in Boulder next week, and then I'll be in Denver and Boulder the week after that. In Boulder, I'm doing like 6 different shows, in Denver, I'm just doing my good trip show. In Boulder, I'm doing a talk about DMT as well. I'm doing my regular stand-up act, which is just basically silly stories. And then I'm doing my podcast live, and I'm doing 2 other kind of special events as more of a guest on these, one's a game show and one's another show with 2 professors that is not the Here We Are podcast. But anyway, people can go to Shane Moss, MAUSS.com to find out everything around the country/world. That I'm doing, and in the Here We Are podcast.com website to check out my podcast. I'd say it would be a good place to start. And maybe I'll call my Twitter and Facebook eventually, but I honestly just don't like Twitter and Facebook that much. I'm trying to wean myself off of it. I'm just in a period of time where I go through periods where I'm like on it all the time, and I'm like, I love Twitter and I get all this great information and I'm like keeping up with my friends I'm not getting any work done because I can't get off stupid Twitter or Facebook. So I have a love-hate relationship with it. And week I'm kind of hating it.
That's okay though, man. I mean, it's probably good for the creative process to take a break from all of that cracky external stimulation, because there's a lot of it.
It is crack, all right.
It really is. They've proven it. Did you see all this research coming out about the dopamine? Like the little red icon telling you you have a notification drips dopamine into your brain. Yeah.
Ooh, did someone like something that I said?
Yay, me!
Did someone give me a complimentary comment about a thought that I had? Woo! it's so interesting. I wonder what it will be like for children. I wonder if children 30 years, so you know, you give someone a brain scan now when someone's on Facebook. I wonder if maybe it will balance out and get back to kind of the more evolved norms of kind of what chemicals were just have genuinely been going rooting around in our brains, or there will probably be more new exciting things, I imagine.
And yeah, like we're just going to merge with machines and become the Terminator and live forever. I mean,
hopefully.
That's probably.
Well, not the live forever part, but I definitely want to be a robot.
I agree.
I'll switch at some point.
I definitely don't want to live forever. I've had some, I think it was Jason Silva I had on the show, and he said like he really wants to upload his consciousness to some kind of supercomputer and live forever. And I was like, that sounds awful. I definitely want to die at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to maybe can I like put it on sleep for like 10 years and then get back up again and figure out what life is like now, yes. 10 years later.
We'll
and
then do it Idiocracy style, 2505, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Well, and then if it really is Idiocracy, which, you know, there's some indicators out there that might be the case. then I want the option to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if I, maybe shoot me into space or something like that. If,
The joke mines of Mars, where all the men are going to end up. anyway, Shane, I got to ask you, you're such a funny guy, but how did you know you were good at comedy and what was it like to put yourself out there? Because that must have been really hard at the beginning.
Yeah. So I definitely was never like the cool kid. I definitely wasn't the worst of, you know, being bullied or anything. I was just kind of like in the middle, just kind of invisible. And I was never really like a class clown either, but I always had a nice little group of friends. And of those group of friends, I often was kind of, and often they would be different kinds of groups of friends too, but it was always pretty consistently, people kind of looked to me to be like the funny guy in the group. I was never a guy that was like on all the time. That kind of stuff like always annoyed me. Just when people have energy in general, I just
there's always that guy though. It's
it
true.
Might be my lack of it that makes me kind of project. Maybe it's just envy that I'm projecting as hatred. But but yeah, I was never that guy that was like, hey, all right, how we doing? But I would always have like the line or two of the night, you know. And so, especially later on when I was, you know, a young teenager, I just kind of started writing some of those lines down and kind of planning out what I thought would eventually be my stand-up career. And fortunately, I was right. I mean, fortunately. I was just a kid and I was dumb enough to think that I could pull off of like a pretty unrealistic thing. As an adult, I'm not sure I would have had the same kind of resolve, but because I had messed my life up so much by being rebellious and not paying attention in school and making a few stops to jail and like that sort of thing, I really had my back was against the wall to be like, all right, well, this is why you blew off school. Now you better make it work.
That's awesome. Do you have any comedic or otherwise inspirations who you want to give shout outs to, or maybe that our listeners could then, you know, research or look into if they haven't heard of them?
Well, I mean, really early on, I wouldn't say there was anyone that was like an idol, because very early on, I just liked watching as much stand up, even when it was bad. I liked watching that just to like see what people are doing wrong. But I remember early on, Stephen Wright and Emo Phillips. Mm-hmm. And I think my style was actually when I started probably a little bit, looking back, was probably a little bit more like that. I mean, I remember sometimes people throwing out a Stephen Wright comparison, which is very different than how I am now. But I used to be kind of an absurdist one-liner, sort of a guy, kind of these wacky, weird, cerebral, imaginative one-liners, which I really don't. I'm much more of like a storyteller now. But I would say, and then kind of just before I started comedy, I remember getting into Todd Barry and Zach Galifianakis, and And so that kind of, and those were also the kind of toward the absurdist side. Well, definitely absurd comedians. And so I think that's where my early foundations of my career started, which is really good for like getting on late night and that sort of thing. And then I just kind of eventually got a little bit bored with that style. I mean, I still love watching those guys do it, but for me personally, it was just getting a little redundant and it wasn't challenging. And then I started kind of going a little more toward, you know, some of the people that I got into much earlier, like, you know, within the first year or two of doing stand-up, I really got into people like Doug Stanhope. And,
I love him. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, he's
big fan.
Probably my all-time favorite. I also once I started stand-up, got back into like more of the classics and gained an appreciation for Carlin and Bob Newhart and Steve Martin but definitely I was much more about the people that were performing now. I mean, I liked Louis C.K. a lot. I was a fan of Daniel Tosh before he had like a show on Confidential. So his stand-up is actually
really
his writing is some of the best comedy writing I've ever seen. The show isn't necessarily the best showcase of that, but his stand-up is, especially for at the time, I was much more into like pushing buttons and pushing the boundaries and like, you know, kind of being edgy. And then I kind of dropped all that over. I kind of got good at that. And then I kind of got bored with doing that. And then I kind of started challenging myself to doing more thought-provoking kind of material and doing more informational and kind of digging into deeper ideas and trying to do them in a funny way, which is still something that I don't know if that will ever stop challenging me.
That's the best, though. You just like transdisciplinary and fusing the comedy with the seriousness. It's great.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see the show.
The nice thing is I love it. I've been doing, I've been a comedian for, I'll be going into, I think my 14th year in April, and I still love it. And a lot of people that have been doing comedy this long, don't. And a lot of that's just like, they've kind of stuck with their same thing and, you know, haven't worked to evolve or haven't worked to like what they truly want to be doing and are still kind of catering to what they think the masses are going to respond to and, you know, get that quick paycheck from the comedy club. And the more I'm able to abandon that and kind of make a little more of a living off taking some of these bigger chances, the kind of happier I am, the more freedom that I experience and the more that I'm able to challenge myself. So I'm in a really exciting time in my career.
That's fantastic. You hear that, people? Follow your heart and do what you want, what you believe in, and you will be successful and end up on the Conan show.
When you say it like that, I guess I'm just when you reframe it, my own words, I guess I'm just a dirty hippie when it.
Well, you know, I could have told you if you're playing six shows in a row in Boulder, we know you're dirty.
My girlfriend's a hippie, and she always, so she's like, Shane, you're a hippie. I'm like, no, yes. I'm a hippie. She's like, yes, you are, Shane.
Own it. Dude, you could do a new show, Not a Hippie, an ode to Cartman. It would be really lit, just saying. we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Shane Moss and I, we're going to talk about DMT and tripping and psychedelics and all the good stuff. So stick with us, and the Dirty Hippies will be back in about 3 minutes.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Hi, this is Carol Dorian, here to tell you about the new and improved Spiritual Diagnostics, coming to you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. starting April 25th. We will be having new amazing guests. We will have new spiritual topics for the new year. So look out for our new revamped show, Spiritual Diagnostics, Psychic Answers and Spiritual Solutions, April 25th at 2 o'clock.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly and Shane Moss, and I are here getting lit on the flames of enlightenment. What's up, y'all? Now, Shane has been touring the country, maybe the world, with his show, A Good Trip, which is fusing psychedelics, science, and comedy. Shane, are you performing high on psychedelics while you're doing A Good Trip? Are you more talking about good trips? And are you talking about good trips and bad trips or just the good trips?
Yeah, well, I guess I could just run one, let's answer one of those at a time. I'm not performing on psychedelics. I could, and maybe I'll try it sometime. But
probably in Boulder would be the safe bet.
Yeah, well, so the thing is, everyone always wants me to be tripping. I'm not sure why. Like, tripping's great for like creating material, not the best for remembering, the little nuances in your act and things like that. And
I think they just want to see you joke, honestly, straight up.
Yeah. I have tripped on stage before, not doing this show, but just doing a regular show. And it was, it went fine and everything, but it just wasn't, it wasn't what I was after, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It was like, I would have rather just been outside looking at nature. It just felt like a waste of good drugs.
And drugs are expensive.
Yeah, like, why am I at work right now?
Yeah, it sounds pretty terrible.
Like, when I'm tripping, I want to have lots of freedom. I want to have lots of possibilities. I want to be like, in a park, but close enough to some indoor place so I can get water and go to the bathroom and whatever else if I need to. And if I'm not feeling the outside, I can do something else. If I'm not feeling the inside, I can go outside. And just being trapped on stage for an hour. Well, this show that I do is a 2-hour solo show. So, I mean, if it started, it could go really bad.
Do you get any breaks? You just keep crushing for 2 hours?
Well, it depends on the venue. I sometimes do intermissions. But when I don't do an intermission, I usually trim it down a little bit to try to get it more like 1:45 or so. If I do an intermission, the total show ends up being about 2.5 hours or so. It's a ride. And so I kind of I start with exploring some of the past, some of the history, some of the when everything kind of hit the fan for psychedelics in the 60s and the scheduling that Nixon put into place, and then kind of how the resurgence of some of the research that's happening now. And then I'm kind of sharing a few of my experiences to explain what, you know, this kind of feels like. And it's actually one of the best compliments that I get is because people always like it and laugh a lot and everything like that. And like people will say it was really funny or whatever. But one of the biggest compliments is people always compliment my ability to articulate the experience, because
that
is something that is so hard to do. And I put so much time and effort into it. And so to get that, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you try out a thing and they're like, nope, I haven't had that one. Okay.
Back to the drawing board. So tell me, what are some of your best and worst psychedelic experiences?
Well, DMT has definitely been some of my best, even though like sometimes it's so intense, even when it's not negative, it's so intense. I'm like, well, can't do that again for a while. I got for the next few months. And because it feels like I spent 10,000 lifetimes in a different universe.
I want to ask about the beings. Did you encounter the beings? I had Graham St. John on the show a couple of months back. He wrote Cultural History of DMT, Mystery School in Hyperspace. And there's a whole debate over who or what are the DMT entities. Would you care to weigh in on that debate?
Yeah. So unlike most people who, you know, well, in my opinion, most people seem to come from it from, you know, DMT, the spirit molecule. You see these beings and everyone's seeing similar beings. And how is that possible? Unless you're going to a different dimension and seeing aliens. I do think that I think there's a multiverse of perception inside of our heads that is kind of ideas take shape and form. And so you have like a bad idea, right? And then you don't think about it. And then a month later, that same idea when you're in the shower pops back into your head. But this time it's the perfect idea. And it's just been tweaked ever so slightly. And it just fits perfectly. And now it's like this perfect fitting little puzzle piece. Well, my thinking is that idea kind of takes shape and form, and it kind of creates this being in this odd level of like hologram perception, just a different kind of consciousness. I think that there's like 1,000 different kinds of consciousnesses, and we're just experiencing this one kind of waking one is all that we're tapping into. But I think that idea is quite possibly even like reproducing and I think there's kind of these evolutions of ideas, and then like these ones that just kind of work end up popping back into your consciousness. Like why hasn't it, what did it do otherwise? If you thought about it a month ago and haven't thought about it since for a month, where was it? What was it doing that whole time? And so I think that,
it was with the aliens, duh.
yeah. So, I mean, first off, I will say this. I will completely say that I have had so many DMT trips where I've came out of it and I've been like, yep, I just saw God and all of this life is fake or a simulation or some trick or something like that. And there is definitely something else going on and something running through all of this that we're not perceiving. And then my scientific brain pops in and is like, no, Shane, now let's think this through.
The burden of proof.
And then I get to work on, and the reason why I'm skeptical for many reasons. One is because humans always jump to God first thing to explain everything. We just have a long, long history of doing that.
God is such a loaded term. Isn't it? It's just really awful. So, I mean, not.
even when I like quote unquote kind of see God, I still feel like what a cheap, gross word for what I just saw. But you know what, it's whatever it's what we're working with, I guess. We said that for the sun rising and falling, you know, and we're wrong. We said that for, you know, just basically everything in life. We said, well, because God did it. And then, you know,
right. We don't have an explanation. It must be God until we can, you know, develop enough to find an explanation.
And then we develop enough and then we do find an explanation. And we just have a long history of being wrong. And I don't think we're on track to break any records.
Hashtag alternative facts.
And then the other thing is that, for me, it's a little more challenging and a little more fun to kind of think of a scientific explanation rather than to take it as kind of face value. Two, even if it is God or it's a different universe or dimension or whatever, it would still be handy to know how this dimension works and what rules it is governed by. So to like stop digging just because you go, well, it's God, I think is selling it short. And then, I also think, one other very important thing that I can't remember right now.
I just think it's amazing that, you know, ancient people have been doing this like since the dawn of time, eating plants to trip and experience these altered states of consciousness. And we don't know necessarily how they interpreted it, but what I like to think about is imagining some like isolated tribal culture thousands of years ago and the frame of reference and the symbols and the archetypes that they have and how they would then understand the experience versus how we understand the experience in this society. You know, how much of it is a label that we're creating and putting on it.
And I think archetypes is exactly kind of what we're seeing when we talk DMT. I think that I have an idea of a perfect woman somewhere in my head that I might be running into and communicating with, but it just might look completely different than this world that I'm looking at right now when I'm inside of my head. That version of the perfect woman in like a coded world inside of my head just looks a little bit different, but it's still the same thing.
Totally. And on that note, we're going to take a break before we wrap up the show. I want to talk more about the whole simulation situation, you know, because that's just like, you know, you have like some of the best and brightest of the world basically saying there is a 1 in 1 billionth chance we're not in a simulation, aka we're probably in a simulation. And what does that mean? So stick with us. Shane Moss and I wrap up the show. We'll be right back here on Lucid Planet Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Every day is another opportunity to bring magic into our world and create the reality we want to live. Intuitive Juliana Salofia and the Lady of Light New Age Boutique are here to help you on your journey. Whether you're looking for a reading, a workshop, or a class of the latest and unique metaphysical products or jewelry, the Lady of Light New Age Boutique has it all. Visit inspirednewage.com to schedule a session or class and feel the energy of the Lady of Light.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with comedian extraordinaire Shane Moss, who is talking with us about psychedelics, comedy, science, and more. And when we left off, we were kind of talking about what is the psychedelic realm that people get transported to, whether it's psilocybin, DMT, LSD, ketamine. What is this realm? Is it an alternative universe? Is it inside of our own minds? And one of the prevailing theories, and I'm going to say theory, that is coming out is that we are living in a simulation, and these psychoactive substances open up part of our brain, which is kind of like a reducing valve for consciousness, and it opens us up to other elements of consciousness. Shane, have you seen the outline of the simulation during your good or bad trips? And do you think that there's some potential to this theory that Elon Musk kind of laid out that, yeah, yes, we are in a simulation possibly created by our future selves?
Yes. I've seen that stuff many times on DMT trips. But because I've seen it doesn't necessarily mean that I believe that what I'm seeing is what's happening. And
what so, is reality?
Yeah. I have a few thoughts on that. One is that a DMT trip is often exceptionally intense, exceptionally hard to kind of have any clarity about what is. The second you understand or you think you're getting it, all of a sudden it's a different thing, and it's almost as if you're opening and closing your eyes as fast as you possibly can, and every time you open your eyes you're in a completely new environment, a completely foreign world. And then just even trying to articulate one, you're already, that was already 30 worlds ago by the time you try to, you know, recall one. But as you like push to kind of, let go and kind of, because there's always this inclination when you go in there, it's very jarring to go like, oh, wait a second. I'm a human. I smoked DMT. I'm just a Shane. I'm on a couch. I'm not, you know,
back to the ego.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, kind of the goal is to, untether yourself from that. And as you do that, the trips usually become more and more clear. But does that mean that it's more realistic? Or does it mean that it's a closer to reality if it becomes more clear? Or is it that your brain, when things are flashing, so quickly and it's so confusing is that your brain, your perception is creating these perceptions, and then you're going, nope, that can't be it. And so then it just quick flashes another perception and flashes another perception, just like in a dream. You can be in one place one second, another place the next second. But then once it starts flashing a perception that you're like, okay, I'll buy into this, then the brain's like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're like, and it continues down that storyline because you're buying into it. Which in my mind would make it less of a reality, than the seemingly confusing one. Now, I would also say with someone like Elon Musk, who maybe hasn't done drugs or certainly...
Do we know that?
We don't know that.
I feel like he probably has done some psychedelics.
I know. But I doubt he's tripped hard as us.
I want to know.
I want to find out. He's so cool and smart and like he's an awesome guy, right?
But total weirdo, I think.
He's a weirdo, and he also spends like a lot of time in very deep contemplative thought. And what if when you're kind of getting down to these lower levels, naturally there is this fogginess of kind of what I was saying before the break, where there are these simulations that our ideas are running. So say you break your feet and now you have to get down a mountain or whatever, and your brain quickly runs a bunch of simulations. Do I call a helicopter? Do you think I can make it down? How far is the hospital? How long is this going to take? It runs a bunch of different simulations. I believe there are worlds of simulations within our heads. So if you're a deep enough thinker that you're accessing some of these things naturally, but still with not the same amount of clarity, unless you're like maybe a yogi or something like that, which I'm still skeptical, of someone that is altering pathways, and seeing it that much clearer. If in these deep recesses of the brain, it's running these simulations, and those simulations, everything that's our perception inside of our mind is what we kind of project into our, what our visual reality is. If you're seeing that, might it be that he's projecting that idea onto the world rather than realizing that it's these worlds of simulation inside of his head? And it's not that I don't think it's far-fetched that there's a being more powerful than us that's created this and blah, blah, blah. It's just that run into the problem of then what's to say that something more powerful than that thing that created us created that. And then,
right. Well, it's like if you believe it all as dogma, like, and this is the thing, like, psychedelics trips feel very real, but if you take it as dogma that it's 100% true, then like you're kind of not thinking critically about what's really going on. That at some higher level, we don't have the answers, and we can't.
And I mean, I don't even know how important it is to know exactly what the truth is, but I do think you're selling yourself short if you stop digging.
Sure.
I mean, we all got to kid ourselves a little bit to get through this world, and that's fine. And finding the placebo that works for you is, kind of important for productivity.
Everyone's an addict, that type of philosophy.
Yeah. Everyone's got their own like lucky socks that they put on, you know, and, but
get a lot of crystals, you know.
But if it like really, I mean, but they sometimes do work if they give you enough confidence and
totally
think that they're working. But I do think that sometimes the dogmatic aspects of it, then thinking everyone else is an idiot for like not believing you or seeing the same thing that you're seeing, or to think they're close-minded or whatever, when you're just accepting the things at face value yourself is where I think people just are selling themselves short a little bit and could be putting a little more critical thought into it.
I love that. We have like 2 minutes left. Oh my God. So I would just like to know, you know, what does the future hold for Shane? Where are you headed after this show? Any ideas?
Oh, I have so much going on right now. It's insane. I actually just went to a life coach yesterday.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding. I never thought I'd be going to a life coach in my life, but I'm just so insanely busy right now, and I need to figure out how to delegate some of my responsibilities. So I'm getting, I'm waiting for the right deal, but I will be getting my a good trip show made into a special this year. I'm just waiting to see who's going to do it and when it's coming out. I have my DMT talk that I'm starting to focus on a little more. I'm doing my podcast live in some places now, including Boulder. I'm doing a documentary about psychedelics that I start filming in April, and will be filming at the Psychedelic Science Conference in April, actually, by the way.
Yes.
We'll be there.
We'll both be there, guys. Come check it out. MAPS, Oakland, April 17th. Going to be lit. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. And I have a million other projects like that that I'm working on. I have another podcast that I'm going to be putting out at the end of the summer, but I can't talk about it yet. But I have endless amounts of projects happening.
Got to stay busy, huh? And apparently, life coach maybe isn't such a bad idea if you have that much going on.
Yeah, I need some kind of management skills.
Yeah, well, that, you know, adulting, right? The struggles. The struggles of adulting. Well, thank you, Shane.
Do your adulting for you so you can remain a...
So you can just be creative, exactly. I never want to grow up. I'm 35. I feel 12. It's never going to change, ever. Shane Moss, you've been an amazing guest, and I can't wait to see the show in Denver on the 15th. He's also going to be in Boulder on the 9th of March and doing a bunch of shows in Boulder. You can check it out on the website, shanemoss.com. And keep getting lit and entertaining us with it, because it's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to connect with you again soon. And of course, also in April at the MAPS conference. And to our listeners out there, thank you for joining us. You can catch us live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific, and find out more on thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our shows on, you know, Twitter, not on Twitter, on iTunes and SoundCloud and Lucid Planet and everything. And very quickly, next week, I have scientist and author Carl Johan Kalman returning to the show. We're going to talk about quantum physics and his new book, The Nine Waves of Creation, guaranteed to be pretty heady. So if you're into that, tune in next week. And thanks again to my guests today. Light and love to you all, and I will see you soon. Take care. Bye.
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 You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.